Appreciate that. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah for just a few moments this morning. I know our children here are with us. I know every parent that's sitting here with their child here is thinking, I hope mine doesn't act up. I hope mine doesn't wiggle or move. You know what? It's natural for kids to wiggle, and it's natural for kids to move, and it's okay, all right? They're not going to bother me no matter what they do, so I want you to relax and enjoy. I want the children to come. I think it's wonderful that they're here with us. As Jesus' take on it, it should be our take on it. Let the children come. And I want to talk about peace this morning. Because, you know, I was listening to the radio, I think Thursday or Friday, coming into town, listening to a Christian radio station, and they'd been taking a survey, I think, on Facebook of what people really wanted for Christmas. And, of course, it was a variety of things. Some kids wrote in, they wanted one of those Wii games, you know, those video game things. And that was good. And I think another wanted some better health, praying for better health in the coming year. One was praying for a spouse that was in Afghanistan that would come home. Another was praying for just simply peace on earth. Because, you know, the truth is, out of all those things I just mentioned, what we ultimately desire, and every person in here, no one is exempt from this, every person in here, you know what you really desire in your life? Peace. You want a life of peace. You want peace in your heart and in your mind. You don't want to be torn with anxiety and torn with tribulation there in your heart and your mind. We want peace in our jobs. We want peace within our homes. We want peace in our churches. We want peace within our country. And the beautiful thing about Christmas, you know, last week we looked at a word called hope. And that's such a beautiful word, hope that Jesus Christ brings. And he brings another beautiful word to us this morning, and that is peace. The coming of Christ was the promise, and it was the fulfillment of peace here on this earth. If you got your Bible there, Isaiah chapter 9 is verse 6. And you might say, well, this is not the Christmas passage. Well, it is the Christmas passage. It was the prediction of it to come. What this child, who he would be. And look how he's described here in verse 6. It says, for a child who is born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I just pray that you would fill our hearts with peace this morning. And God, not because anything around us has changed, but the peace that comes through relationship with you. God, for every man, woman, boy, and girl to be courageous enough to examine their heart this moment, to look and see, God, if you are there within them. God, if you reside in their heart and their life. And God, I just pray that this very morning, God, each person that's here would truly experience peace with you, God, and peace through you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. See, we can look for peace in a lot of places, a lot of counterfeit places that you can look for peace, and people do it. We do it. I mean, a lot of folks are just hoping whatever's under that Christmas tree on Friday morning. What are you looking for? You're looking for peace, looking for joy, looking for happiness, whether it's a video game or a bicycle or I don't know what people get, clothes or whatever it might be. We hope that's what it would be. And where can we go, though, for lasting peace? Where can we go for fulfillment, we might ask? We would think of all times in our world today, we should be able to find it. Think about this. We live in comfortable homes. Compare the homes today to the homes 100 or 200 years ago. We live in nice, great, comfortable homes, but domestic violence is at an all-time high. Our cities are the most modern in the world. You can get this Wi-Fi, and you can get food, and you get everything you need. Most of our cities are so modernized, and they're wonderful compared to many other places in the world, that the streets are unsafe around us. Our children have the best education available, but we worry about their future. And see, many believe we must change our surroundings to have peace. That's one of those counterfeits a lot of people believe. I could be at peace in my life. I could have a happy life. I could have a joyful life. I could just change some things that are around me, some of the circumstances, some of the environmental things. So what do? We go to peaceful places. I know the youth will be going to Gatlinburg in a couple of weeks. And, man, that's a beautiful place. You know, and if you get up there and it happens to snow, and not that you get stuck up there, but it happens to snow and you enjoy it up there, is that not a peaceful place? But how long can you stay there? And can it really bring peace? You can travel to the mountains. You can travel to the oceans. You can travel and see great things, the pyramids. You can take cruises, whatever it might be. And those may bring some peace, but it won't be lasting peace. Because you know what I've found for most people? You know what your biggest problem? When you're trying to find peace and get away from things around you, the biggest problem you have is that you bring yourself. You see, peace or lack of peace is something that's right here within. You bring yourself, and therefore you bring that turmoil. You bring that anxiety in your life. You bring that lack of peace. We can change our jobs. Some of you probably think, well, man, you know, my job is just bad. If I could just have a different boss, if I could work in a different environment, if I could work in a different place, I think I could have a life of peace. And maybe you've tried that. You've moved to this job or this job, and you find, guess what? It still hasn't changed. Some people think more toys will bring peace. Well, maybe a newer boat or a newer gun or a better house or better clothes. Maybe these things will bring peace to me. Maybe they'll make me happy. but you get them, and you still feel that void in your life. You still feel that emptiness there within your life. Some are unhappy and have no peace at home, so they think, I'll change spouses. I'll get rid of this one. I'll get another one. There's plenty out there. I'll go get that one. You find out. Guess what? It will not bring you any more peace than what you had before. Your heart is still the same. These things can only bring temporary happiness. All these things I just mentioned, they can bring you some temporary happiness. Moses talked about this in the book of Exodus, said sin is fun for a season. I'm not going to deny and tell you that beautiful places aren't fun to go to, and new toys aren't great to have, and new jobs are always wonderful. But you know what? It's somewhere in there. It's just temporary. And what God has promised us today here through this passage is that He can bring peace to our heart that remains, that stays, no matter what goes on around us. Who is this Prince of Peace? What a beautiful name to be called, the Prince of Peace. See, the people of Israel waited for this coming of the Prince of Peace. They had waited for many, many decades, for centuries they were waiting for Him. They knew life without peace. Growing up in Israel was not a great and easy place to be. This was a nation that was always at war. Either they were trying to take over some places, or there were foreign countries and leaders who were always trying to invade them. There was not much peace in those days, just like there's not much peace in our day. We can look in the Middle East and we can hope for peace, but it's just temporary and it's not going to happen. All over this world today, do you realize there are dozens and dozens of wars that are going on? Some that we're very much aware of, such as Iran and Afghanistan, or Iraq and Afghanistan, but there are other places going on, tribal things, and other countries and places. This is a world that lacks peace, just like it was here in the days of the Israelites. I'm amazed as I read the Bible, that as we look at it, sometimes we think, oh, it's so ancient, it's so old. But yet what went on in those days parallels so much of this day that it's absolutely amazing. You just have to open your eyes to see it. There were people of war. They had civil unrest. They had religious unrest. The days of the Israelites was no easy place to be. But what is peace? Think about that for just a second. What is peace? Peace is a lack of rest. You ever had one of those nights you just don't sleep? And there in your heart, you're just torn up, and you toss and you turn, and you take that Tylenol PM, you find anything you can, but guess what? You lack that peace, and you're tossing and turning. That's what a lack of it is. Peace is anxiety. It's an emotional burden. And every person in here has experienced that at some point. That emotional burden that you carry that you don't like, that makes you unhappy, that hurts right there in the very part of your gut right there. But Jesus has promised to come. I love this as the Prince of Peace. The Prince, see, Prince is a title, and it's a title that He deserved, and He deserved alone. For you see, He was the Son of the Master of the universe. Only He has the right to be that Prince. And He didn't keep it all to Himself. Isn't that wonderful? He gave to those who became His followers the gift of a special kind of peace. All those who follow Jesus, He's given to them a very special kind of peace. Not the temporary peace from a cruise, not the temporary peace from new gadgets and gifts, a peace that is that we don't understand, a peace that the rest of the world doesn't understand, a peace that no earthly king has ever been able to give. You see, every king and every leader, what they want to try to do in every country, bring peace. They want to try to bring peace because if there's peace, people will like them. They'll be reelected. People want them as the king. They'll want them as the ruler. They'll want them as the president. And some have managed to bring peace for a short amount of time. But this king, this Jesus Christ, the Messiah, when He comes, and He has come, He brings peace to your life no matter what. Because see, here's the issue about peace. Today, this Prince of Peace, you need peace in God, and you need peace with God. Please understand that you need peace, and it's only going to be found in God, and you need peace with God. That peace in God, you cannot experience true peace in this earth outside of knowing God. You might say, that's a pretty bold statement. You're saying there's no way I can have peace. I mean, I've experienced peace, but I challenge you, it was temporary, and it's gone probably now for you. Oh, you might have had it for a little bit here and a little bit there, but I'm talking about a lasting, abiding peace in your heart that no matter what comes up, no matter what happens that next day, no matter what results you get from a test, no matter what happens to your bank account, no matter what's going on in your family, there's still something in you that this peace of God that you don't quite grasp, you don't even understand it yourself. You'll never find that outside of Jesus Christ. Look as you will. Look everywhere that you desire. But I will promise you that you'll never find peace outside of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we've been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God. Well, so that's not a very encouraging thing to say, preacher, you know. I come here today, I want to be encouraged. Well, I hope I can encourage you a little bit later on. But if you do not know Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of God, is what the Bible says. And let me tell you, as his enemy, he is strong and he is mighty, and you can't beat him and you can't conquer him. And if you face an enemy like that, you were to face an enemy on the street that was greater than you, mightier than you, there's only one wise and logical thing for you to do. It's called surrender. That surrender will give you that peace. See, some of you are in here today, and you don't have the peace of God within you. You know about Jesus, you've read the Bible, you kind of grasp on some of these things, but you've never truly chosen to follow Him as the Lord and Savior of your life. To turn your back on your sin and say, I depend on you and you alone. I want to follow you. I want to live for you. And that's why you lack the peace. And that's why God has you here today. If you've ever listened to Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist, I guess, maybe of all time, you'll hear him preach a message over and over about peace. God desires to give you peace. God wants that in your life. But it only comes through Him. And He's waiting on you this very day to give your heart and your life to Him. And there could not be a better day than right now. You will never know peace until you know Jesus Christ. See, this is the reason for His birth. So He came to make peace with God. We can have a relationship with God. That brokenness that was there, that void that was there, because of this birth that we celebrate this morning, because of His death, because of His life, because of what He has done, this Prince of Peace has come to give us a relationship with God. Do you value that relationship with God? Have you experienced that relationship with God? I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm not asking if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking if you've read the Bible or if you've ever just said a prayer. I'm asking you, do you have a relationship with God? Because if you don't have a relationship with God, you're never going to have peace in your life. It's never going to be there. But today you can have that relationship with God. You simply must come and surrender to Him. That's what He desires for you. That's the gift that He wants to give to you. And you can't put a ribbon on it, you can't put a bow on it, and you can't put a price tag on it, my friend. It's a gift for you this morning. You can have peace with God. You no longer have to fight God. You don't have to try to run from God. You don't have to battle God. If you've ever tried to run from God, if you've ever tried to disobey God, you're the most miserable person that there is on the earth. Look at Jonah. I'm at Jonah. God, here's what I want you to do, Jonah. I want you to do this. I don't like that. I'm going to do my own thing. And what was his life like? Complete and utter misery. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. That's why your life is miserable. Because you've yet to surrender to God. This morning you need to do that. And not only do we have peace with God, we have peace through God. God wants to give you peace. See, when God comes into our life, not only do we have this peaceful relationship with Him, it allows us to experience peace in every area of your life. You know what? A lot of you, if you think back over this year, coming to that time where we begin to reflect a little bit about the past year, some of you had some difficulties. Some of you had some hospitalizations. You've had sickness. You've had surgery. You've had loss and you've had death. You've had financial tumult. There's been a lot of things. But I can promise you this, if you know Jesus Christ, He can give you peace through these storms. See, it's not that a matter when God comes into our life that He makes everything rosy and the sun only shines on us. That's not what it's about. We go through the same difficulties. We go through sickness. We go through loss. We go through hurt. We go through pain also. But guess what we've got that the rest of the world doesn't have? We have the Prince of Peace within us. I know that peace. I know what it's like to walk through some tough times, but God is there. And I can't explain it. I can't tell you why it's worked. I can't put my finger on it, but it's there. It's there. It's not just the peace of a settled eternal destiny. It's peace during this earthly journey. And it's not by changing the circumstances around you, but by rather changing you on the inside. Boy, and I've seen some of you. I've seen some of you go through some difficult, difficult things. And I've stood back sometimes amazed, absolutely amazed, that you got a peace about it. I mean, I'd probably be worried. I might be upset. I might be mad. I might be aggravated. I might be highly concerned and anxious and chewing my fingernails or pacing the floor. But I've seen some of you go through some difficult days, and yet you come through it, and there's this peace about you, and you can't explain it. You don't even understand it. But it's obvious, and it's obvious to a world around us that lacks peace, a world of anxiousness, a world of hurt all around us. See, peace is a result of your relationship with God. Do you realize that's the part of the fruits of the Spirit? He tells us as we walk with God that He'll develop in us these fruits, and they're love, joy, peace. Boy, I like those three right there. I mean, that's good enough right there, isn't it? If that's all there was, I'd be happy. He's given us much more than that. But it's the result of a relationship with God. If you lack peace this morning, it's reflective about your late relationship with God or your lack of a relationship with God. You can continue to look in many places, but I promise you this, my friend, you'll never find it. The kind of peace that God offers you today, it's a controlling peace. Colossians chapter 3, if you got your Bible, you can flip over for just a second. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, describes it this way. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." See, it's a controlling peace. It can rule your life. The word there literally is the word for an umpire. And what does an umpire do? Think about it. Ultimately, what an umpire does, he keeps one team from whipping the other team. He keeps things fair. He keeps them from turning out to a fight, you know. We've all been to ball games, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, where suddenly, next thing you know, the benches are cleared and everybody's fighting. And that umpire, that's his job. He keeps the peace on that field. And the same way what it's saying is God will keep that peace in our heart. He'll keep that peace. He'll control it. It's a constant peace. In the book of Isaiah, it tells us, chapter 26, verse 3, he says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." See, it's a constant thing. Peace today isn't just because, well, things went good for me today, and my job went okay, and my family's all right, and my kids are acting right, but who knows about tomorrow? See, as a believer, you can walk with such great faith that it doesn't matter about tomorrow. You still have the peace of God. It's never changing. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can change it whatsoever. Let me tell you, though, it's a different kind of peace. It's a peace like not like the world's peace. See, the world's peace is always temporary. And the world's peace is always conditional. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. Excuse me there. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. But the peace that God gives us is constant. It's not conditional. It's not temporary. Peace is not a trouble-free life, my friend. It's the sense of calm in the midst of life's storms. The Prince of Peace is ready to give you peace today. I'm going to ask you, do you know Him as the Prince of Peace? Have you experienced Him in that way, as that name? Or will you continue to look for your own alternatives? Some of you are here today, and I've talked about this, you know what you need. But you're like, you know what, I have some of my own ways. I think my ways work pretty good. It reminds me of a little story, and I know we have some of the kids in here, so I've had a story. And I figure if kids can understand it, maybe the adults, maybe you'll catch it, okay? You just try your hardest too. But it's a story about a guy named Billy. And this piece of paper kind of represents Billy's life. Boys and girls, y'all listen, right? Okay. Because I'm going to need your help, okay? I'm going to need your help in just a few minutes. You'll catch on with us. And Billy just never had a whole lot of peace in his life. He never had a whole lot of happiness. He was always looking. There had to be something out there. Something out there that would help him. So he had a lot of money, had a lot of friends, had a lot of things. So one day he went out. He decided, I know what will make me happy. I know what will give me peace. So he bought him something. What is that? Okay, not very good artist. Okay, it's a boat. Okay, use your imagination. See, the kids have imaginations. That's a boat. You can see the sail on it, can't you? Okay. So Billy went out and bought himself a boat, just like this. And all his friends got on it. They sailed to the Bahamas, and they sailed up the East Coast, and they saw beautiful waters and ports of call. And man, things were great. And he was just so happy. But guess what happened with that happiness? It only lasted, now boys and girls, you've got to help me with this one, a little while. Can you say that with me? Ready? A little while. We're going to use that again in just a moment. And so it only lasted a little while. He said, there's got to be more to life. There's something got to be better. So he said, well, you know what? I've been having my eye on a few things. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy me something. What did he buy? A house. Very good. All right. See, I'm getting better at that. He bought a house. And it wasn't just any old house. It was a big house. And it was a beautiful house. It had swimming pools in your own bedroom. And it had horse stables. And it had an arcade room. And it had everything you could ever imagine. A refrigerator stocked with Yoo-Hoo and Twinkies. I mean, it was just all you could ever hope for. Man, he loved it. His friends came over, and they would spend time at this house, and it seemed like such a wonderful, wonderful thing. But then suddenly, guess what happened one day? That peace he had and that joy he had, it didn't last because it only lasted a little while. A little while. Man, he was kind of sad. He said, well, there's got to be something more that I can do. There's got to be something out there in this life that would bring me some joy, that would bring me some happiness. I mean, I've tried a boat, and it didn't work. I tried a house. My house didn't work. Said, I've tried many things. He said, I know what I'm going to try. I know what I'm going to get me. He tried something else. What is that? Airplane. He said, I'm going to buy me an airplane. I'm going to buy an airplane. And with that airplane, I can fly all over the world. I can see the mountains and I can see the oceans. And it was a big airplane, not just a little one. And he got all his friends on it. And they would look out and on the plane. They had Nintendo and Atari or whatever, I don't know. They had all those things that you would always want. and they had food galore, and they just traveled all these places and all these airports. And man, he was so happy, but guess what? Only for a little while. Sonny's like, you know, I got a house. That didn't make me very happy. I got a plane. It didn't make me very happy. What else did he have? A boat. That just really didn't do it either. So what can I get nobody else has got? What can I get that would really just give me peace in my life, give me happiness in my life? So guess what he came up with? Now, this, you have to use your imagination, okay? A spaceship, a rocket, okay? He came up with a rocket. He said, I'm going to get what nobody else has got. I'm going to get a spaceship. I'm going to get a rocket. It's not just here in this world. So he got in it, and he flew to places like the moon. And he flew to places like Mars and Jupiter, and he got to see these great, beautiful stars, and his friends were with him. And man, everything seemed happy, and everything seemed wonderful. But eventually, the rocket had to land, and guess what? He was happy, but it only lasted for a little while. See, he's looked for peace in a lot of places. He's looked for happiness in a lot of places. In a boat, in a house. He's looked for it where else? A plane. See, I need help there. I had a blank for a second. Thank you. Had a plane. Had a rocket. One day, though, Billy was kind of walking around the streets. He had his head down. He just wasn't very happy. He had everything money could buy. Everything that you would think would make a little boy happy. And he saw this other little boy kind of sitting there on the street. And this boy didn't even have good shoes on. He didn't have Nikes. He had just some of these really off brand. And his clothes are dirty, kind of torn. He was just eating peanut butter and jelly. It's like, you never had to eat peanut butter and jelly. That's just a low man's food there. Peanut butter jelly, a little mayonnaise on it, never hurts. And he was enjoying that, watching this little fella. And he went up to him, and he noticed this boy had a beautiful smile on his face. And he was happy. And he's like, you know, why are you smiling? Why are you happy? What do you have? I've got a boat. Do you have a boat? And the little boy's like, nope, I don't have a boat. He said, well, I got a house, and it's a huge, huge mansion. Do you have a huge, huge mansion? He said, no, I don't have that. I live in a cardboard box here on this little street. I don't have any of that. He said, well, I've got a plane. You must have a plane, right? Nope, I don't have a plane. Never been on a plane. Actually, really never got close to a plane. He said, well, I shouldn't even bother asking you. I got a rocket. Obviously, you probably don't have a rocket, right? Well, what should he said? He said, nope, I don't have a rocket. He sat there for a few moments in silence, and he kind of just sat there, and he finally decided, well, I have all those things. I can't find peace in my life. I'm just not happy. But I look at you, and you have none of these things, and you're happy. And he asked him, why are you so happy? What is it that you have that I don't have? And it was the one most important thing. He had Jesus. He had the cross of Jesus in his life. The Prince of Peace has come to give us peace. This morning, I'm asking you the same little question. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Do you know God personally? In just a few moments, we're going to have a time of invitation after our Lord's Supper. And as we get prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper, I just want you to think about that. Think about your relationship with God, or do you have a relationship with God? Because God's come to give you peace. And the Bible tells us as we come to the Lord's Supper table, we come to remember. And this morning, I want you to remember God as the one who's brought peace into your life, the one who's brought joy into your life, the one who's brought meaning into your life, the one without whom you would have no hope in this world. The Bible also tells us that we need to examine our hearts. So I'm going to ask you, men and women, and boys and girls, as the deacons who have been asked to come and help participate make their way forward at this time, I'm going to ask you to spend some time in quiet and in prayer, to examine your heart, to look at it, and see if there's anything, any sin. Is there things that you need to confess? Is there things you need to repent of? To do everything you can to make your heart right with God right now, so that we can remember the one who's brought us peace.